When was Cavendish first settled?
1839, and as far as I know, there was a bloke, Riley, James Riley, he came to Kenilworth here. There's sort of three big stations, a bit like most of the areas around the southwest, and I suppose just about all around Australia, really. But you had Kenilworth and McCangia were the two main stations. There was another one, Victoria Lagoon, but it only went for a little while and then sort of phased out. This is in about, really, the 1840s. And they've kept on right through. Kenilworth's still here, but it's only about, I don't know what it'd be now, 1,000 acres, might be a bit better. And, of course, McCangia's still going. And Hyde Park was another one. It's a bit further up. And Glen Isla.
So when did the centre of Cavendish get going then?
Well, it was about the same time. I've got a... there was a map drawn on stone in 1842 and it says Waddell's Inn. So there was a pub here or an inn here in 1842. So virtually I'd say what's happened is, like, as soon as Major Mitchell come through, which is about 36, I think it was, 1836, when he came through and just said, oh, it's a really good area. So 1839, I know for a fact that there was... Riley was here, and then the inn was here in 1842. So it could have been here around the 1840s. And it serviced any of the traffic going from sort of Melbourne, Geelong and that through to Adelaide. Yeah, and that's how it started, and it just grew up from there. But it's never been a big place, Cavendish. It's always... I've always put it down as a labourer's town or a workingman's town, and I think that was a bit caused through the squatters, because what happened was I think they liked to keep it so that in the township here they didn't build it up very much, didn't put any money into it as such. And anybody that sort of had the shop, like the store or blacksmith shop, they liked to keep it in-house, so to speak. So it was never developed. And that way the people had, like the squatters had, the people had the working men there that they could call on at any time if they needed somebody to work.
That was never planned to be a big sort of flashy place then, or a place of grand buildings or anything like that?
No, it never was. In fact, we've got very, very minor buildings here, really. We haven't got anything that you'd call very major. I mean, we've got the old, what used to be the Presbyterian Church across the road here from our place, but it was the Lutheran... It's the Lutheran Church now, because they had to sell it off at some stage in the 80s, I think it was. But, I mean, it's about the only substantial old building that's still around. The hall, as you would have noticed, is... I reckon our hall's probably one of the best country halls you could see anywhere, you know, when you have a look at it and the way it's all set out and that.
So I was going to say, just, I mean, it's a bit of a surprise, that hall, because I'd never really... I mean, I've been through Cavendish, but I'd never actually noticed the hall before, because it's sort of on the other side of the road, I suppose, from where most of the traffic goes. But it is a substantial thing, and it is quite a grand building, actually, isn't it?
It is, and it's probably hats off to our hall committee, that's because the façade of the main part of the hall has been there since 1924 when it was built, and it was built as a soldiers' memorial hall, so, and it was paid for through debentures and donations, you know.
What sort of pride do people take in the place then these days? What's the feeling about where Cavendish is at?
I reckon there's a lot of pride in the community now. Probably we started up a townscape committee, and that was done through the Lions Club. Lions Club formed, and then it formed a senior citizens club, which became a separate identity in itself, and the Townscape Committee, which is a bit like a progress association. And it's a separate identity in itself, but it all stemmed through the Lions Club. And we just sort of... If somebody brings up that something needs to be done, or we think something needs to be done around the place, well, we try and do it. And Yeah, it's really good. I think we've got gardens going. We've put a, what we call a settler's walk along the river and you know, just anything that needs doing. We've sort of got people to help us, and the whole community helps. They always have, so...
I mean, like many towns like this as well, I noticed there are a few little plaques going up outside certain buildings or certain places to draw people's attention to some of the history of the area, so there's obviously quite an interest in that as well.
Yes, there is. I think it's just nice if you pull up at a shop, you know, any travellers that are going past and you get a nice day, like autumn, spring, well, even during the winter and summer. If you pull up there and it's not a bad day, you can go for a wander around and it's, you know, you can just stand there and have a bit of a look and you can say, oh, yes, yeah, like down at the old store. Well, it's been there since 1860. Mm. Well... you know, it's been on that same site for a long time, and hopefully it'll still stay there for a long time to come. Yeah.
Another nice building in town as well, of course, is the hotel, which we've mentioned. I mean, it's got a lovely sort of Art Deco facade on that building, which has obviously been well looked after.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's about 30 couples brought that, locals. It'd be about 2 or 3 years ago, and... we've been endeavouring to do that up a bit. It was always, well, as you would know, most of the hotels have to start looking at catering to families. Mm. Like, not, it's not just your pub where you go to drink and get drunk or whatever, or, you know. Nowadays you have to cater for families, and we've started doing that.
What about the other commercial aspects of the town? You mentioned before there was the top shop and the bottom shop and a blacksmith, I think. Was that about as busy as it got for retail and business?
See, the railway used to come through. We had the railway here. There was blacksmith shop. Two shops, there was three at one stage actually, like all running at the same time. Mm. Baker, sawmill, which was down here on the river flat down there, what we call the Ford, and it had about 7 or 8, 9 blokes working there. But it closed in about 78, I think it was, 1978. So we sort of had the sawmill close, the railway closed in about the same time, and then the bottom shop, it closed a few years later, like in the 90s. But yes, the people weren't there, and well, as you know, what happens in most of the little country towns now, any of the young people, just they all go to Melbourne or, you know, for their education, they never seem to come back.
The other thing that certainly Cavendish is notable for, perhaps more recently, is the hamburger, which is well advertised, of course. Yes. Have you had one?
Yes, certainly have, and it's big. I can tell you, anybody wants to come and try it, they're quite welcome to, you know, but it's... I think they've had one bloke that's eaten 3/4 of it. But it's huge. It really is. I think we've had 6 of us sat down and had a go at here one day, and yeah, we were flat out to get through it. In fact, we didn't get through the whole lot of it at all. Yeah.
What else holds the town together then? Is there I mean, obviously you mentioned there's a very strong community feel by the sounds of things. Is there a strong sort of sporting connection as well, maybe, or a strong sporting, you know, groups and so on?
Oh yes, sport. Sport's always been a big thing. In fact, you know, we hold our own pretty well as far as the sporting side of it goes. But a bit like everything, we struggle a bit to retain numbers because you just get good footballers coming through or good cricketers or good tennis players. And, of course, they go away for work. And it's, I think it's like that in most small country towns. I mean, with the football club, gosh, I could name about 9 or 10 young fellows that have gone away that if you put them in our football team here, you would just absolutely have a really gun side. But, I mean, they're not around anymore, and I think there'd be most little country towns be like that. But I think agriculture's our main... you know, like all the farmers and that support the area and support the district. I mean, yeah, it's just how it is. I mean, you've got cropping, sheep, like it's a fine wool area, although a lot of that's sort of getting pushed out now because the wool's not making enough money, so they're going into fat lambs more and cropping. One of the big things that made Cavendish years ago was the timber, the wood around the place, because being red gum country, huge red gums, and I know the place I work on, and now I've been there for so many years, it's, you know, for 30 odd years, and when I first went there, we were clearing stumps off the properties, you know, so off the property, like paddocks and that, so that we weren't, you know, you weren't continually driving around stumps and that, and of course bulldozers had come into their own and that, but we were pushing out five big stumps, you know, probably anywhere from four, say, oh, I don't know, probably a metre through, if not bigger, and we were pushing out five of them to the acre. Now, the place I work on, 7,000 acres, or it was then, it's now six, but it was 7,000 acres, and that's 35,000 stumps. Now, all of those were cut down for timber, and most of it, sadly, went, well, a lot went to railway sleepers, and then, but a lot went down, there were blocks that they'd paved the streets of Melbourne with. Yeah, and now they're still there, you know, but they're under about, you know, 4 inches of bitumen. And
that's a similar story to Balmoral as well. I understand they had a similar sort of thing going on with their timber industry as well, and once again servicing Melbourne's, or building streets in Melbourne.
Yes, that's right.